Hey, something new to talk about, something I think you're going to enjoy hearing about, Operation Freedom Paws. I love their motto, 4 paws, 2 feet, 1 team. Mary Cortani, the founder and executive director of Operation Freedom Paws, is here along with Kathleen Flynn, the president of the Martin Luther King Jr. Association of Santa Clara Valley. Nice to have you both here.
It's great Thank to be you. Here, Sam.
So you introduced me to Mary at a dinner not too long ago, and now you've brought her in for an interview. What's the deal?
Well, Mary Cortani received the Coretta Scott King Award in October last year. We've only given out 4 in 33 years, and Mary was the 4th recipient. She also just received the Golden Rule Award for incredible leadership. Our association completely supports her and her organization. We're very proud of Mary. She's saving lives every day, not just human lives, but animal lives. And Mary's got a great foundation that works with veterans, with PTSD, and people with disabilities. And you just have to meet her and learn about her organization. What do you think, Mary? Tell us about you.
Yeah, Operation Freedom Paws. I love that. It's an intriguing name anyway. How did this come to be?
I'm a veteran myself, and I went back into training dogs full time. I learned to train dogs in the military. But when I had a life-changing event and had to reinvent myself at an older age, I went back to what I love to do. I received a phone call from a Marine who was looking for a trainer to help him train a service dog because he'd been on a waiting list for several years with a traditional organization. At that point, I didn't understand what PTSD or the issues facing our veterans were when they came home. Started researching it and said, we got to be able to do this better. This waiting list in the traditional model isn't working. We're leaving our veterans out in the cold. And with all the other problems going on, there's got to be something we can do. So I decided I was going to help him, did a bunch of research to find out what the issues were, what their challenges were, and realized that what I had learned in the service about evaluating dogs and using them for military working dogs and scent work, as well as search and rescue, could apply to this. And so that was the concept. We started with that one Marine, and last week we added our 200th client, 85% of which are veterans, and the rest are children and adults with disabilities.
You mentioned dogs in the military, and we hear stories of heroic dogs and dogs that our military come to love and come to, you know, really expect to be like a partner to them. So how does this follow to being a veteran, no longer being in the military once you're out?
You know, once you get out of the military, there's a couple of things that happen. You have a mission and a purpose. The world is black and white to you while you're in. And you come out and the transition is very hard. Even when I got out after 9 years of active duty, I was lost. What am I going to do? How am I going to survive? My basic needs, that the pyramid, the foundation is gone. And you have to start all over. But now there's all this gray area because there's so much vagueness. And you have to figure out how to transition and overcome that. So in our program, by giving them a dog that comes out of a shelter who is maybe has a few issues because they've been abandoned or they've been in the shelter for a while, but they're screened so that they fit and have the right temperament, personality, and drive to be a good service dog, we're now giving them a new mission. They have to train their own dog. We have this saying that, yes, we do dog training, but we're not dog trainers. We're human trainers. And because we're training them to train their own dog, and we do it, it's the old Chinese proverb, if I give you a fish, you'll eat for a day. If I teach you to fish, you'll eat for a lifetime. And so we're giving them that purpose, that mission. And at the same time, the innate canine human bond is taking place, beginning a healing process. Post-traumatic stress is not going to go away. It is always going to be there. But we can heal the scar a little and teach them new tools on how to deal with it. You know, being in a crowd isn't going to go away. And being anxious in that crowd isn't going to go away. But if they have something else to focus on and something else to care about, very similar to their battle buddy, then they're able to get through it and they're back out and able to enjoy life. I've had clients' families tell me that just because we're teaching them to communicate with the dog, read the dog's body language, pay attention to the dog, that that's translating into their family life, so that, you know, they're now interacting with their kids, they're now interacting with their spouse, and in turn, they're out doing things that they hadn't done in years. And it is only one tool out of many that we could be offering to our veterans to make life better for them.
Sort of reestablishing a pathway.
Absolutely. Rewiring the brain. Reconnecting them with relationships in a positive way and giving them something to care about when they've experienced a trauma. Trauma's trauma. It happens to first responders. It happens to people who've lost family members. It happens to somebody who's been in an accident. You know, it has a profound impact, and over time, enough trauma is so deep. Crippling and so deep that we have to teach them and rewire how they can get through it and still be able to feel joy and not feel that sadness.
And we have trauma on behalf of the pet too, the dog. So you basically have a two-way fix going on.
In some cases, there's trauma with the dog. In other
the shelter dog, that's what
yeah, the shelter dog. You know, they didn't get the best start in life, mm-hmm. right? And they've been put into a shelter or picked up off the street. So there's behavior. What we call that is learned behavior. And what we have to do with the canine is to teach them a new learned behavior to undo that behavior. And it's an amazing process when you see them connect and you see the confidence and the balance come back into the animal as well as the person with the disability.
How many veterans did you say you've helped so far?
Well, we count them as clients, and we added our 200th last week, 85% of which are veterans. So, probably around 160, I would say.
Yeah, I was walking with my son recently, and he didn't understand why we have cuts in the sidewalks, why we, at the corners and so forth. And I explained to him that really happened after the Vietnam War, when so many veterans came back, and there was a constituency finally, somebody saying, hey, let's fix this, because there's a lot of people in wheelchairs and on crutches who can't get off that curb. You know, so necessity is a mother of invention here in America. And right now we have a growing necessity, don't we? Because suddenly we have more and more and more veterans coming home.
Oh, absolutely. The number of veterans coming home that are injured you can't even begin to fathom it. And here's how I try and explain it to people. In previous wars and conflicts, we had a larger killed in action number. Today, we have a larger survivor number, a larger more with the injuries. And so what's happened is it's flipped upside down. And our current systems, such as the VA, were designed when technology and weaponry and medicine wasn't as advanced as it is today. Mm-hmm. And so we're having, you know, lower killed in action numbers and greater injuries that we just aren't prepared for it. And the type of injuries are not necessarily different, but they're deeper. You know, back in the day, they called it battle fatigue. Now they know that it's post-traumatic stress. Mm-hmm. But in addition to that, we have military sexual trauma. We have a higher number of traumatic brain injuries because of the IEDs and the roadside bombings. And enough of those blasts and your brain going against your skull is going to create an injury. And that surviving of that injury has a profound impact on how they're going to function going forward. Then throw in the mobility, throw in, you know, the backs and the legs, and that's not even talking about the loss of limb. It, depending on what study you're looking at, you know, 900,000 plus are going to be injured, and that's just with the current Iraq and Afghanistan. What about all of the other conflicts, such as Vietnam, where the veterans were forgotten, that we're seeing suffering from the same things, or Bosnia, Somalia, Tunisia, all the places around the world that we're at? People forget that we're in Korea on the DMZ, which is a war zone every day. Whatever we can do to help. And I'm passionate about it, one, because I'm a veteran, but two, we take for granted the liberties and freedom that we enjoy every day. You and I can say, hey, let's go to lunch, right, and make an appointment, and that's that gray area, right? But it, when you're in the military, if you want to go to lunch with somebody, if you're not on a break or you want to go off post, you got to get a pass, mm-hmm. and that still exists today.
And also, if you're a veteran, you say, let's go to lunch. Well, the veteran's dealing with issues when he's in a crowd.
Oh, absolutely. Being inside a crowd or being inside a restaurant, the vigilance and the constantly watching the doors and having their back up against the wall so mm-hmm. that they can see the exits and the windows, that managing of the crowd, that vigilance, their brain never turns off. They're constantly there. What the dog allows is for them to know that they're safe. They can get to the point where they're no longer sitting with their back up against the door, because the dog is going to tell you whether it's a perceived threat or a real threat. And if it doesn't move and it's laying there nice and calm, you don't have anything to worry about.
Does the dog comfort you in a way, too? I mean, you're saying the dog helps you because it signals to you, but there's the comfort of having that animal, too, isn't there?
Yeah, the human connection. You know, we all want to be connected to something. Mm-hmm. We all want love. An animal, especially a dog, gives unconditional love. That's one of its greatest gifts. But the second greatest gift it gives us happens to be that it lives in the present moment. Mm-hmm. It doesn't hang on to the past. So the relationship that you build with it today is the relationship you're going to have with it tomorrow.
And with a little luck, it'll help you develop relationships as well and perhaps change the way you perceive the world as a veteran.
Absolutely.
You know, you mentioned the VA flipped upside down. I couldn't help but think about a veteran that I interviewed not long ago who was in a Humvee that was flipped upside down by an IED and suffered brain damage. He had been an engineer in the Silicon Valley until he went to serve in Afghanistan, got flipped, got brain damage, and came back and had to relearn everything. He couldn't remember to be an engineer anymore. He had to have a lot of help, and the VA, bless them, is not very well equipped for dealing with these amazing changes. And you're talking about mental changes and physical damage to your brain, not just mental damage, too. So there's a lot to deal with, and it's a growing problem. And Freedom Paws, Operation Freedom Paws, is a small organization. I'm sure you'd welcome competition as long as there's enough dogs to help people. But how are you growing, and how do you get help?
I don't come from the same philosophy or school as a lot of people. I think the more we can do, the better, especially to help folks who do have a disability. We grow by donations and grants and fundraisers. We have an Easter egg hunt coming up on the 4th for children at our new Canine Education Center. We have a golf tournament coming up May 2nd at Eagle Ridge. People can sign up, participate. We survive on donations. The generosity of our donors contributing is what's keeping us going. We just moved last year into a new facility, which is allowing us to expand and grow. We kind of hit a spot last year where I couldn't add any more clients. You know, again, unlike the traditional organization, when we interview and they're a good fit and they're willing to make the commitment, because the commitment to us is 48 weeks to a year long.
Okay.
And they have to come to training twice a week. So we needed more space. We were blessed. We have a new center. Now the goal is to go out and acquire it, purchase it. We have a lease for 5 years. And we're, you know, the Recology gave us an amazing gift of a dollar a year for 5 years. But we have to do all of the improvements and make all of the modifications to be able to accommodate the need of our clients. But any support that we can get is greatly appreciated. And it has a direct, profound impact. People can check us out on our website, on Facebook, on Twitter, on Pinterest. We're upfront. What you see is what you get, and we just want to make a difference.
Your Facebook page is fascinating, by the way. OperationFreedomPaws.org. That's www.OperationFreedomPaws.org. Mary, you mentioned briefly some fundraisers in the Easter event, so slow down and tell us again.
So on April 4th at the Operation Freedom Paws Canine Education Center, we'll be having a Easter egg hunt for kids, one to have people become aware of the center. And we offer daycare and boarding to the public to also help offset our costs. It costs us about $15,000 per team to get them trained and certified and out, you know, living everyday life. So, you know, we're doing that to bring awareness to the center. And then on May 2nd, we have a golf tournament at Eagle Ridge.
Eagle Ridge, everybody, that's a really fun course.
It's got some long drives. Mm-hmm. But that is a fundraiser. The sign-up and the information is on our website as well as our Facebook page, and that'll be raising funds for the organization.
Operation Freedom Paws. Check them out, www.operationfreedompaws.org, on Twitter as well and on Facebook as well. Mary, veteran and executive director of Operation Freedom Paws, thank you for your service and thank you for your service.
Oh, thank you very much.
And Kathleen, thanks for bringing Mary to our attention.
You're welcome. And I just want to share something very quickly. I met Mary 2 years ago, and I met a lot of her clients. And last year, I went to another one of her fundraisers, and it was incredible the difference I saw in her clients. One man comes to mind with his little dog, Abby. She's not so little. He used to be real introverted, and when I met him just last year, he came up and said hi. I couldn't believe it was the same man. His dog is beautiful. So congratulations, Mary. We're very proud to support your organization.
Thank you, Kathleen.
Thank you both for coming in. Up next, Councilmember Ash Kalra talking about District 2 and the future of San Jose when South Bay Sunday continues. Mm-hmm.